Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, you're most welcome back to the programme. Bobby here with you all the way till 1 o'clock today. Carl Friel is a lifelong entrepreneur. He was the co-founder of HVivo, that's formerly Open Orphan, Poolbag Pharma, director of European Green Transition. These are some of the companies involved in, but I know him of old. He was the founder and managing director of Raglan Capital, where he spent 17 years. I suppose given his recent time in pharma, we thought it'd be a good time to catch up with him and get his thoughts on what might be happening in the sector. Good morning to you, Carl.
Morning, Bobby. Good morning.
Firstly, tell us about how you found your way into pharma, because you did a lot of other stuff before all that.
Yeah, Bobby, thanks for having me on. Yeah, quote my wife, she says, I'm a jack of all trades and masters of none. But like any entrepreneur like yourself, you sort of end up wandering in, staggering in, or going in by default, basically. It wasn't a plan.
And what was your first experience working in pharma?
First experience, we had, believe it or not, an oil and gas company called Fastnet.
Oh, yeah.
And then oil price collapsed, and we decided to move into pharma. And we changed the name because, believe it or not, oil and gas and pharma are kind of similar as a business unit. So basically, we changed the name. It became Amrit Pharma, and we found a brilliant CEO, Joe Wiley, and a brilliant CFO, Rory Nealon, and they did all the heavy lifting. They created a $1 billion company out of Fastnet, which was Amrit Pharma.
What is it about changing names? Open Orphan, which I would, this is why I sometimes find it difficult to keep up with the likes of yourself, because businesses, you know, they change names for a reason. If you talk of, say, Open Orphan becoming HVivo, what was the science behind that?
Yeah, the science behind that, Bobby, is I'm generally always involved in small public companies. Small public companies can never get debt. So almost small companies will continue living almost forever because they're public. And what happens when one business idea doesn't work or changes or gets bought, you basically start another one and you use the small company as almost a shell to start another one that has cash and an ability to go forward. So yeah, and it happens regularly on the stock exchange. You have these small public companies around for 30, 40, 50, 60 years doing different things over the years.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about pharma. We know how important it is to us as a nation. We probably know that it's in the sights of Donald Trump, but we also probably know that he got his wings clipped by the market, and we're not really sure maybe where the next steps lie around pharma. What are your own thoughts, Carl?
Yeah, Bobby, actually, I would be optimistic. I know things are changing, as I say. The tariffs are coming. FDI will slow down. However, I'd come on the optimist. People shouldn't worry. Big pharma are not going to pile out of Ireland. For the primary reason is most of the pharma in Ireland are biologics. That's very, very complicated, high-end pharma.
And does that mean that they're too deeply invested here to move easily?
Absolutely. And not alone that, they need highly skilled people. Eli Lilly invested $2.5 billion in Limerick and Cork last year. And the CEOs and Rikers say the primary reason he put $2.5 billion in the biologic facilities in Ireland, he can't find the staff in North America. Eli Lilly are the biggest employer in Indiana, Mike Pence estate, and they can't find people to run biologic plants. That's the reason we should not be worried. There's not going to be an exodus of big pharma out of Ireland anytime soon.
Okay, I think that's reassuring to hear. In terms of big pharma as well, never ones to waste a crisis. I saw there was a delegation that went to Europe talking about too much red tape, talking about making it easier to do business in Europe. I presume Europe is really wanting to help big pharma right now.
Yeah, look, I think Europe's looking, as you say, never waste a good crisis. I think as Obama was the last guy said it, and Churchill did say it. So yeah, well, Europe is looking at, look, America's become more isolationist. You can't change. That started under Biden. And Europe needs to be more pro-business, needs to make it easier for pharma to do business. Europe has, and we know it, you and I know it from business in Ireland, Europe is generally, in Ireland, has become quite difficult to do business, quite anti-business, and it keep going after higher taxes and everything else. So I think out of this crisis, the reality is FDI will slow down, a bit like your earlier interviewees talked about. Ireland needs to use this pause to fix infrastructure, fix Irish water, fix the housing crisis, fix the schools and electric. So there's nothing like a pause. If FDI kept going, I think we've been bulging to be a bigger problem down there. So they should use the current pause. And Europe are going the same. I think Europe are trying now to talk to big pharma and say, make Europe a good home for pharma, because within Europe, pharma is not that big. Ireland is disproportionately big. The real pharma countries to worry are the China and India. They produce generic pharmaceuticals. They will move to America. They're very easy. They're very low skilled.
Tell me about the patents and how that works around, I suppose, the life of a patent. Was there talk that they were going to shorten some patents and that would have a big implication in a negative way
on the business? Yeah, Bobby, that's again typical Europe. Like, we were getting, look, be honest, we were getting fat and relaxed. A bit like going on in Ireland, the Apple 13 billion cheque arrived in and all they wanted to do is, we heard somebody speak, how to subdivide it. Like, they should spend it properly in infrastructure. And Europe, yeah, they were trying to take, like, patents has worked all around the world to safeguard industry, to allow innovation. And Europe, I think we've been a bit silly of trying to shorten the patent life on pharmaceuticals. That, I think Europe has stopped a lot of that talk. So I think at the moment, people shouldn't be as worried about everything moving back to the States. But there certainly will be a slowdown in FDI. And I think the governments across Europe, particularly Ireland, we're a small nation, should start, let's build our own companies, let's focus on indigenous industry as well as the multinationals.
Is the politics of America, though, Carl, likely to get to American companies? You know, we've seen some of them changing, you know, their diversity and inclusion policies and stuff like that, because they're terrified of the political rather than the commercial.
Yeah, look, America's become almost polarised, you know. And my view at the moment is what's going to sort America out is tariffs cause inflation. Companies don't absorb it. So the big issue will be later this year is guaranteed to be higher inflation. George Bush Sr. lost to Bill Clinton because the word was, it's the economy, stupid. That's what Bill Clinton said. So I think the big worry for the Republicans will be midterm elections are only November next year. They'll start campaigning at Christmas that early. And on the doorstops, they're going to find there's a good chance the Republicans will lose the Senate and the House. So that's Trump's agenda over. So I think we just, the rest of the world, Ireland, Europe, you got to just bear with them. Don't overreact and use this pause to kind of rebuild indigenous industries, fix Irish water, fix electricity. So I just think, and we should need to get used to watch America from afar, because I know you talked about tourism coming down, but I think America is going to become much more insular. I think you'll see less Americans coming abroad because it's kind of become very patriotic, stay at home. So yeah, there's a lot of change happening, but we should embrace some of it. And you said, don't waste a good opportunity.
What about the dollar? Again, it's out at what, 114, 113, 114 today, devalued 9% in the last 8 weeks. Probably looking to go, will be devalued further.
Yeah, and look, this is where Trump has the battle with the head of the Fed now at the moment, and heard you talk earlier with the dollar. Yeah, it's getting more attractive for Europeans to go to America and Irish people. But the danger is a dropping dollar will automatically bring in inflation.
Yeah.
And democracy is a great thing. I know Trump doesn't like it, but as soon as those midterm elections come, if you have inflation, the people who voted for Trump were anti-Biden because they felt Biden took money out of the pocket. Well, this president, Trump, will certainly make a lot of his voters less well off, because 40-50% of what they consume is Chinese goods, and that's definitely going to increase in price.
And when we look at the pharma sector, Carl, are they fairly organised as a group in terms of a representative body? I suggest they are, but as somebody who's in there, how do they operate?
Believe it or not, Bobby, no. This would be the first time I know in history the pharma companies, they normally keep their head down. Then normally, I'm sure you might have struggled to get a few in the talk this morning because they're big companies. They're very careful. But this is the first time they got together. There's other industries much better organized, but pharma tends to be discreet. But the fact that they did write a letter to the European Commission this week worrying about moving investments tells you that big pharma are worried. There is great incentives to move back to America. But that's a bit like big pharma said, hey, Europeans, we would like to stay here. Don't forget, like, Europe's a vastly bigger market, including the UK. We have 520 million people living in Europe. You've only have 360 in America. So I think big pharma know Europe is the second largest pharma market in the world.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to assert themselves, say, look, please, we like to stay, but we want slightly better terms and conditions as part of that.
Okay. Well, look, great to get your insight, Cathal. It's a fascinating sector, one that we're going to see a lot of action in, I think, over the next 5 or 6 weeks. Cathal Friel of formerly Open Orphan and now of European Green Transition and indeed Poolbag Farmer. Thanks for joining us this morning. Loads more to come.
Thank you very
much. Stay tuned.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.